Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. Wow, it's been hot in here this morning, not temperature-wise, worship-wise. And today, it's my privilege to interview three of what I'm calling the biggest hearts of Thrive Church. You're going to get to know them and love them just as much as I do, but today is hot love. Now, for those of you who are thinking I should leave because this is about romantic love, it is not that service, okay? This is about our love for our neighbors. And Jesus is so clear in the commandments. He says, all the law and all the prophets are wrapped up in these two commandments. Do you know what they are? Love the Lord your God, number one, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. And today is about loving our neighbors well. And friends, what we need to know and understand is that the one commandment flows into the other. The moment we start to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and all of our souls and all of our minds, He expands our hearts. So that we start to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's not something we need to try harder to do. It's not something we can make ourselves do, like love this person, love this person. We can't do that. But what we can do is love our Lord, our God, with all our hearts and all our souls and all our minds. The Ten Commandments are wrapped up in these two commandments. And then out of the overflow of our love for God is the overflow of our love for our neighbors. And so today, I get the great privilege and honor of interviewing three of our ministry heads. Now, they represent ministries. They are not the whole ministry. Ministries are made up of teams. There's a worship leader who has a team behind them. These are three ministry leaders that have incredible teams behind them. And today I get to show you the heart of the ministry leaders. And what I would love for you to do is to give these three gentlemen, so I am the thorn among the roses today, or maybe it's the other way around, I'm not sure, as I interview them and expose you to the heart of Thrive. You know, there's so much about Thrive that you may not know. You know, church service is just one small aspect of the heart of Thrive. And so today, I get the great privilege of introducing to you these three ministry leaders. Stan, if you would join me, Mike, if you would join me, and George, if you would join me. Let's give them a huge round of applause. The roses are taking their time.
The rose pastor can be the thorn.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you, Stan. All right, so welcome, guys. Thank you so much for being with us as we talk to our beautiful congregation about hot love, how it is that God can do something within us. Today, this morning, I'm going to start with Stan, if that's okay. And I'm going to ask you, Stan, would you introduce yourself to our congregation and the ministry that you lead? Because there are many of us, there's some here today who's even their first day at Thrive, which is incredible and welcome. But there's many of us here that don't even know anything about our missions department at Thrive. Would you tell us what you've done, the journey you've been on, how this ministry was birthed, and how God's placed you in it?
Awesome. Thanks, Pastor Ken.
Sure.
First, I want to thank you for allowing us being here, but I also want to thank the Lord for the ministry that He's given and placed on my heart. Glory does not belong to us, but it belongs to God, and we are facilitators of the passion that He drives within our lives. So we started missions in the year 2005, and I went on a missions trip with some folk, and those folk actually left that missions trip, and the missions was left bare without anybody taking care of it. And I went to the Lord and I prayed about it, because we had made some certain promises to these people in this place that we call 25 kilometers. And we had taken a man out of his circular job, and we had taken him and said, yes, that he needs to read the church. And we promised to build him a church. And the people in that promise actually left. So there was nothing there. And I prayed to the Lord and I said, Father God, what do you want? And would you lead me into this? And I really was going through a very difficult time of that. But the most important thing is that God has raised up not only me, but in this congregation, all over, Pastor Ken, including yourself, Mike, George is still to come, raised up many people to grow missions. And missions is not about one person, but about a lot of people. So the place we go to is 25 kilometers. It's in Mozambique. It's a ministry that we go to every 3 months. And we've grown a church there. We've actually planted a church there called Thrive Church. How awesome is that, eh? It's a ministry that's been going for 25 years. And I've got a tremendous person that leads with me, and that's my beautiful wife called Tessa. Pastor Ken reverts to her as the leader of missions. She's my helpmate, and I'm the brawn, babe. You're the brain. So what we do in 25 kilometers is we go out on a missions trip and we actually proclaim the word of God. And that's what we do, Pastor Ken.
Okay, and so it was much quicker than I anticipated. Tell us how some of the things when we're on a missions trip.
Yeah.
Okay, what are some of the things? So I'm going to go on my first missions trip. What are some of the things that I'm going to encounter? And what are some of the things I'm going to do on this first missions trip? Because what I want to say is we've come a long way. Yeah. When we first went on our missions trips, and I'll be honest, I never went on those ones because they were rough. We were intense with long drops when we first went on our missions trip.
Yeah.
That was a small beginning that God birthed in our hearts. Now we have a church that we have built that meet together about 300 people on a Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are dormitories that we get to stay in. And so we have our own dorms that because we go regularly and we have showers and flushing toilets. So our missions work has come a long way. It's a luxury tented camp, really. And it's a beautiful place to go and to experience the love of God. But what are some of the areas that we will get involved in when we are there? What are some of the things we would do? If I'm invited on missions, what do I do?
Okay, so the first thing you got to do is bring a broom. Okay. Okay, so when you come on missions, what actually transpires is we take you on a trip. And what actually happens is you actually start pouring out yourself on the missions trip. Because it's not about you, it's about the people that you're going to meet. And God can only fill you when you empty yourself out. Okay, when you go to Mozambique, you're meeting people for the first time and most probably for the last time in your life. But you will lay hands on those people. And you will walk a road with those people. And not only will you lay hands on them, you will show them the love of Jesus to each and individual. You must remember, you are the hands of Jesus. When you go on a mission trip, that becomes really, really relevant. And it becomes very tangible in your life. Because somebody will just, while you're sitting there having your dinner, as many people will explain, a man will come and bow down here by your feet. And he will ask you to pray for him. It's a different scenario, all what we see here. There is really being practical and showing Jesus' love to the people. Showing them that Jesus loves them. Showing them that Jesus desires to have a relationship with them. Showing them that Jesus really, really cares. And you are that person that shows him. And God uses you to bring that to those people. And that's what missions is all about. It's never about yourself. It's about expressing the love of Jesus to those that you would meet. We sometimes sit here and we don't know what our ministry is. Well, come to Mozambique, because I can tell you, everybody that's been on a trip, Pastor Ken, Mike, you're not the same when you come back. You've changed. You're different. You've grown. You've learned to understand who Jesus really is in your life by showing mercy, kindness, love, and grace to those that don't understand and don't have that. And sometimes people think that the language is a barrier. Jesus has no language. Jesus has no barriers. And he speaks into those people's lives and just through you. So if you make yourself available, hey, come on a trip with us. Come and experience the unknown and the foreign lands. And you will be blessed and favored.
Yeah, so good. You know, love doesn't have a language. It can be communicated without words. And that's what happens when we go to Mozambique, is there's just the love that you're a conduit of the love of God. And there's a beautiful ministry that takes place. And I know every mission trip I've ever been on, I've come back changed. I've come back enriched. I've come back ministered to. I went to minister and my life was changed. And God did something within me. And some of the practical things which Dan didn't mention is we often visit prisons and we pray for people in prisons. We visit like maternity wards, hospitals, pray for the sick. We often show a movie that just is a way to attract people from the village who don't get big screens, you know, to a movie. And then we minister and pray, and the love of Jesus is poured out in that place. We have our church service on Sunday, which is incredible. We're one of the team. We'll pray. You know, God does incredible things through our missions work. And I want to say to you and Tess, Stan, that missions is often an overlooked ministry in the church. You know, for 3 months of the year, you hide in the congregation, and then for 1 week after 3 months, you disappear for a while. We don't hear about what, you know, I do as the pastor, but the rest of the congregation don't hear about the work that's happening there. But I want to say, and I believe God would say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servants. Well done, well done. I'm going to turn our attention now to George, who's going to talk about Together Serve the City, another one of our incredible ministries here at Thrive Church, another ministry that's just showing the love of Christ. Hot love is what today is all about in our community. Would you talk to us, tell us about Together Serve the City, how you got involved in it, and some of the stuff that Together Serve the City does?
Thanks, Pastor Cairns. Just to let you know, when I got here this morning, I didn't sound like this, so God bless Ginger Tea, I'm just saying. But Serve the City was an idea that I came up with a number of years ago. You know, as many of us have, we've all gone through some hard times, and we've all struggled. But, you know, the penny finally dropped, and I actually took a look back at it and realized, you know what, I am extremely, extremely blessed. Compared to 70% of the rest of the population within this country, we are all extremely blessed. So even though it may not look like it, I'm a big softy. So, you know, we'd be driving around. I'd give a guy at the robot a 10 rand and then get to the next robot and give the next lady a 10 rand. And my wife said to me, babe, you can't help anybody. So I thought to myself, what can I do to try and help as many people as I can? I read a poem quite a while ago, and there was a gent walking along the beach, and on the beach, the waves had washed ashore 10,000 starfish, and there was a gent standing there throwing one back in at a time, and he walked up to him and he said, you do realize that this is going to take you days, weeks, if not months. And he said to him, as long as I'm helping one at a time, I'm doing my job. So that's kind of what we base what we do on, is just trying to help one person as we can at a time. So that's where it started. And yeah, we turned 6 years old on Saturday. So, you know, just want to say thank you to God for making the provision, making the team that are part of TSTC available to keep my dream going, and just to be the hands and feet of God.
Thanks, George. You know, God always burdens someone. There's that holy discontent in your heart, that thing about, like, I can't stand to see one more person without a meal. And then he burdens that person to such a place that there's a discomfort in you that you have to do something. And I see that that's what's happened with each of you. There's been a burden. There's been a vision. There's been a holy discontent. And God's placed you as leaders to help us get behind causes, get behind ways that we can help the one. Help the one. And I'm just reminded of the fact that we mustn't despise, Scripture says, you know, days of small beginnings. And the way that we start, like, we might only be able to feed 10 people this month, but Serve the City, one of its most recent, was it the most recent feeding soup kitchens? How many did we?
So One of the ministries that we'd decided to get involved in is hosting a soup kitchen once a year. The first one we did was in Reicher Park. We ambitiously aimed to feed 500 people, which we smashed. The following year, we thought we'd up it a bit and try and feed 1,500 people. I was with Uncle Stan when we did that, and we hit that mark. And then literally on the way back from that, my youngest daughter, who is involved in my team, both my daughters are, because, you know, I believe it's you're never too young to start giving back.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an unwritten rule in our house that they will be involved. And on the way back, after a very long 2 days of prep, my youngest daughter says to me, "Dad, next year we need to do 3,500. So I was like, wow. Okay, fair enough. Let's see what we can do. And completely by God's grace, last year, August, we did 3,500 meals. So
just a picture of the faith of children. You know, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I believe that children have the gift of faith, and that God honors the gift of faith within us. And Apostle Steve has always said, you're probably, if you've heard Pastor Steve preach, he said this 1,000 times, if your vision doesn't scare you, it's not big enough for God. And I believe, like, when your daughter said that vision scared you. You're like, I don't know how we're going to do this.
100%. And I mean, you know, when you have the faith that what you're doing is the right thing, God will make a way. And literally 2 weeks before we were due to host the soup kitchen, we've got a sponsor in the United States that send us money every quarter. And I got an email from them and they said, listen, they've been fortunate enough to receive some additional income, and they're going to pass that on to us. So by them doing that, we were able to not only buy the equipment that we needed, but the food that we needed to make what we did. So, you know, God knew what we wanted to do, and he made a way and he made it happen.
Yeah. Only God. Only God.
Only God.
Only God. Just two things I want to mention here with that George was talking about. The first was just seeing a need and moving towards it. Seeing a need and moving towards it. Friends, we can't do everything. You know, there's need everywhere. There's need around us everywhere. But we can do something. And so the question I have for each of us in this auditorium today is, where is God stirring your heart? Because God is no respecter of persons. What he's done here about stirring these gentlemen's hearts to move towards a cause, he might be stirring your heart to get behind one of these ministries or to start your own. And that's okay. Submit it to the pastor. Say, like, this is what I feel. And what God births in you, he will provide for.
I just want to add to that, like Pastor Ken said, that if it's not you getting involved in a current ministry, but you've got the idea to start your own, yes, TSTC are turning 6 years old this year. However, this idea that I had preceded that many years before that. But as Scripture says, the enemy prowls around, is ready to pounce, and he plants that seed of doubt in your mind, saying the task is too big for you, you're not going to make it, you're going to fail, you won't conquer. And that unfortunately was the reason why I didn't have the guts at the time to speak to somebody about it. So if you have that thought in your mind, push all of that aside, and God will make a way regardless of what the enemy tells you.
Very good. Very good. Thanks, George. Mikey, we saw some of your story on the screens, and what you would have seen, which you haven't, I don't know if you put the pieces together, but he's been a pain in my, for 18 years.
One of the perks, eh?
Yeah, we love Mike. Talk about your ministry to our congregation, the journey that you've been on, and how it is that God birthed this in your heart and how it's grown.
I just want to start out by saying I'm shocked that George is reading poetry, eh? It's amazing.
I told you, that's why I left, JP.
I've got the great privilege of leading Shine, and Shine is one of the church's outreach ministries, and we are positioned in the schools in Reicher Park. That's literally 2 kilometers down the road, and we believe that we want to give these children hope through education. And so there's like 50 kids in a class. The schools are under massive pressure, and so we come alongside the schools and we give, we actually teach grade 2 and 3 learners how to read and write each week. So we've got a fantastic team of 30 paid youth, sponsored by NAMPAC, and 47 volunteers that come each week and volunteer their time to invest in these kids' futures.
And talk to us about your heart for it, how it's grown, the calling, the story behind the ministry. You know, there's always, you see the face of it, but that's not where Shine started. Shine started as a small literacy center. Mike was never full-time. So just talk to us about the journey.
Yeah, I think, I had a passion for some of the injustices taking place in our country. And, you know, just like each one of you have got the ability to do, I just made myself available. I think sometimes for those that haven't necessarily found their purpose, we can sometimes overthink this. But sometimes it's just about getting plugged in. And I've said this, if you had told me that I would be in this position 20 years ago, I would have laughed at you. But so just to stay plugged in and just see where this thing will lead, you know? And so I did. I put up my hand, started to serve, and God just showed a way and opened doors. And we started our literacy program with 50 learners. And, you know, today we're helping 480 kids. So, yeah. Yeah, so I think each one of us has just got so much to offer. You know, if I look around this auditorium, if each one of us just put up our hand. And so we're blessed with different things. So some don't have time, but they might have financial resource. Or, you know, so we're all carrying so many different things that we can offer. You know, putting your hand up makes you uncomfortable. It's not easy. You know, even running a ministry it's weighty. It's quite a lonely place at times. And there's lots of sacrifices that need to be made along the way. But when I look at those little kids, how they come into the center, so shy, so lost, and our volunteers throughout the year offer them not only an education, but just love and care. Yeah. You know, that is, you know, I think people want to see the church. They don't want to hear about us. They want to see us in action. And so, you know, for me, coming from quite a selfish background, when I invited the Lord into my heart, this is just a natural outpouring, as you said, to love your neighbor. This is how we love our neighbors. You know?
Mark, really sorry, good. Mark, I think maybe just share with everybody the amount of successful kids that you've had gone through the program over the years, because that's a significant number.
Yeah, so excluding our tutoring and mentoring program, we've had 1,277 kids go through our program. Wow. So.
George, I didn't know you were the interviewer.
Stay in your lane, Georgie. Stay in your lane, buddy.
Pastor Cam.
But it had contributed.
Yeah, so. I'm in sales. Always see the gap.
There's a couple of things that Mike mentioned that I want to just focus on for us as a congregation. To be exposed to poverty, to be exposed to hardship, to be exposed to the reality of our country in underprivileged and under-resourced areas is difficult. It's difficult. But friends, I want to encourage you to ask God to give you the capacity that your hearts would grow with love for those who need it. You know, most of us in this room, we've had a meal today, if we eat breakfast, okay? We've had coffee, we've woken up in a warm environment, our lives have been set up to succeed, most of us in this room. But this is not the case for most of our country. And so the mandate as Christ followers is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that means exposing ourselves to the need that might be around us. And then feeling being uncomfortable with that, being like, God, this injustice is unfair. Help me. The need is overwhelming. And often we might think, oh, the need is overwhelming. I don't know how to do to meet it. We're not called to meet all the need. We're just called to do one thing. The thing in front of us, the thing that God's burning within our hearts. And there's ways that we can move towards it. I'm going to ask these three gentlemen just to tell us, how is a way that we could partner with them in their ministries? But before I do that, Mike said something about leading a ministry. He said that leading a ministry can be lonely. Now that we've been exposed to these incredible ministries, friends, can I ask that we pray? Because these ministries not only need all sorts of, you know, other resources, but they need spiritual resources as well. They need the power of God to go before them, to open doors before them, because these are spiritual battles that we are entering into. We don't just fight against, Scripture says, flesh and blood. In other words, this is not just a humanity thing. There are principalities and powers that would want to oppose the work of ministry that is taking place. So let's pray for them. And I believe at the end of this time, I'm going to leave a bit of time to pray over you and for your ministries as you head into the remainder of this year. But Stan, I'd like to start with you. If we as a congregation want to go on missions or want to find out more about missions and the trip ahead, what are a couple of ways that we can partner with our missions department?
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Pastor Ken. So, yeah, if we want to go on a missions trip, what you actually got to do is go to the front desk and you put your name down there. Your name will then be given to Tess, and Tess would then be able to contact you. And we could inform you when our next mission trip is available. But Pastor Ken, if I may say this, you know, going on missions is not the beginning and end all. Missions is here at home. Yeah. Missions is here. We've got a place in Sakani where George just mentioned there. We go out and do an outreach. That's a mission, and your mission is here. So if you want to go on missions, first of all, we would ask you to pray up and really ask if that's what God wants you to do. Because sometimes it can be taxing, it can be difficult. And to ask God if that's where he wants to place you in this time of your life. Because it's not an easy task to get out there. Once you're out there, it's difficult. But God sustains you and God encourages you and helps you along your journey. So we also look for finances, which, Pastor Ken, we don't like to mention. But we also look for finances into the missions. Just to give you an idea, because of you, Thrive, we have been able to build a church that seats over 360 people.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Full. Amen. We've also been able to build living quarters where when you go on missions, no longer do you have to live in a tent. No longer do you have to wash out of a bucket. No longer do you have to use a long drop. We have
amen.
Quarters.
Amen. Amen.
It's daunting, isn't it? Pastor Ken knows how daunting that can be. So no longer do you have to do that. But we've got showers in your rooms.
Yeah.
You've got basins in your rooms. You've got beds in your rooms. And you've got electricity. So it's just transitioning yourself from your home into another home. And that's all because of you.
Yeah.
It's because of the funds that you place into our ministry. And it's not just ours, it's God's ministry. But not only that, we've gone one step further. And we're now building a Sunday school. How awesome is that? Pastor Cam came on a mission with us and she brought a broom with. Okay. And she saw the need to build a Sunday school because the kids were under a tree and the weather was a problem for them. And because of the heart, she brought that home and has been a big instrumental part of the Sunday school being built. Thanks, Pastor Ken. And it's you people and Thrive that have done that. And from Tessa and myself, we say thank you so much for making our work possible and to see God's kingdom extended into Mozambique. So if you want to be part of that and see what God has done through people that are loyal and faithful, come on a mission trip with us. Put your name down at the info desk and come and experience God in a total different way. And we invite you to come along and to walk a journey with us And who knows? We all changed, Pastor Ken. Remember that? Every single person, Mike, if I look over the congregation, I see you all that have been on a missions trip with us and how God has impacted your life. I can see just one gent at the back there just shaking his head who couldn't even wield a pick at the time. Am I right? And he came and he dug a hole for us. And so God can change your ministry. Ask Kulu. God changed his ministry and changed him. So God will ever change your life. So come, put your name at the info desk. Come join George, myself, and Mike.
Yeah.
And if you have to spend 4 days with Stan, you'll be disturbed for the rest of your life.
He bears the scars.
All right, Georgie, I'm going to skip you. I'm going to move to Mike because I want to end with Saturday. Mike, how is it that we as a church, what do we need? What's the minimum requirements? What are ways that we can get behind what Shine is doing? Before you answer that question, I just want to bring to our attention that these are three vastly different ministries. George's ministry is immediate needs, right? It's like, let's feed people who are hungry today. Mike's ministry is future-proofing. He's like, these children who are in underprivileged areas, if they don't learn to read and write, their whole futures will be impacted. So they are completely different ministries and so beautiful and so needed because the body of Christ needs both. People need to eat today, but people need to be educated for the future, for when, you know, for when they need to find jobs or go to university. And then there's our missions abroad. Yes, there is missions in our backyard. We can tell our neighbor about Jesus. We can share the love of God wherever we are. And that's actually what we're called to do, to be the hands and feet of Jesus here right now, but also to our neighbors, the neighboring countries as well, which is an incredible ministry. So Mike's going to...
Can I add something?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, so...
It's okay. They'll pop you up. Don't worry.
So just to give you an idea, Pastor Gann talks about future people, the people in the future that we're going to, that's going to know Jesus. We had the privilege of actually taking a pastor, two young men, Pastor Gann, and we actually took them to Bible school, and they are trained up now as fully fledged pastors of the church. And it's amazing how God works. I just want to give the... Can I? I just want to tell you how God works. This is how God works. God knows the future. We don't. We had a burning sensation to take these two young men. We never knew why. And we took them and we sent them to pastoral school. And the pastor that led the church died last year. And if we hadn't taken those two young men, prompted by the Holy Spirit, taken them, put them through Bible college, the church would have nobody leading it at the moment. So what you do, Mike, is future-minded, and we need to be future-minded in that. So, yeah, thanks.
It's really powerful. Thanks, Dan. And I want to add that that was thanks to your finances, church. We put two pastors through Bible school because of the finances that you've sown into this church. So you're part of the legacy in Mozambique. So thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, now poor Mike, you're going to get a chance at some point.
Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things that, you know, if we're waiting for politicians to sort out our communities, then we're going to be waiting forever. And, you know, I look around and I see this great picture of a mobilized church just doing God's work in the community. And if we can get to that place, don't leave it up to the next person, okay? Just ordinary people like yourselves and me can actually put our hands up and we can actually make a massive difference in our community, whether it's through missions, whether it's through to serve the city or Shine. We've all got so much to offer. And, yeah, so just to get involved in what we do, what an awesome privilege to actually equip a young child to read and write. So if you are willing and able, you don't need to be this massively educated person. Make yourself available during the working week. The great thing about our program is we have the dynamic of our volunteers. We've got black, white, Indian, colored from 20 to 70, you know. So it's just a great picture of what a community is supposed to look like.
Just give me 1 second. Won't you pop the website up, please, Beth? Thank you. That's the way you can sign up, and Mike or one of the team will contact you with more information. So this is your way of saying, hey, I want more information on this. Carry on.
Yeah.
Just keep that up.
Yeah, so obviously if you're physically able to come and volunteer at our program, that'll be awesome. But if you're not, you can contribute to this. Like Pastor Ken has said, resources make things happen, and it enables us to, you know, to be able to reach more children. You also, if you are in a position where you work at a company, we are Section 18A approved, which means that any donations that your company will make, they will get a tax benefit from that. So, yeah, come on board, check out our website, and you know, one of our friendly team will contact you to give you some more information.
It's awesome. Thanks, Mike. George, talk to us about Together Serve the City and Mandela Day, Mandela Day, Mandela Day, which is coming up. Just let me talk about this. Our Mandela Day as a church, this week, Saturday, is where we together as a church are going to make a difference in our community. And George is going to talk to us about that.
Thanks, Pastor Cairns. Before I get there, you know, I just want to say a lot of the times, you know, when people are in the moment and they're listening to this and they're like, yes, I want to get involved. I want to serve the community. I want to go help feed the impoverished. Guys, it's very difficult for any one of us to give up any amount of time that we have. We're in Joburg. We don't live in Cape Town. We live busy lives. Monday to Sunday, we are. So, you know, just to give up 2 or 3 hours, you know, of your time on a Saturday, we try and do a project once a month. Things have exploded over the last 2 months, and we've literally been doing something every Saturday. So, you know, it's just a case of putting your hand up and being the hands. Being the hands of God. It's
just for clarity.
Yeah.
Just because you might be scaring everybody at this point. If you sign up, you don't have to be there every Saturday. You just need to say, I'm available on this Saturday to help for this many hours. And then you might not be available for the next 3 Saturdays, but then you might say, hey, I'm available this Saturday to help. So don't scare them. This is supposed to help your cause.
My bad. it's purely like it's purely a voluntary basis, and if and when you're available, you know your that's the main currency that we talk in. Yes, there's financial currency, but our currency is time and availability. That's all that we need. So yeah, and I just, you know, the small things that we take for granted every single day, to be able to bless somebody that has got absolutely nothing. I mean, we've been into the most terrible places that are in our community right here that I'm sure most of you have never even seen. And, you know, just to be able to bless somebody with something so small, like a tin of baked beans, the expression and gratefulness and gratitude on their faces is life-altering. And just that sense of giving, it becomes addictive. The more and more and more you do it, the more you want to do it. And the more you want to do it, the more people we bless. So, you know, I would encourage you, if you have got some free time, guys, it is, like all our ministries are, experiencing that. Because it's a calling from God, is life-changing. So, yeah. Then, Mandela
Your
Day.
David, your yep. website's up there.
Oh, yes.
If you would like to find out more, sign up there. One of George or his team will get in contact with you and add you to a WhatsApp group. And then you can say, I am available, I'm not available. Also, if your company can donate anything, so perhaps you're a company that, you know, has soup, you know, we could give that way. And then we are talking about, there are about 450 people in this church today. Let's talk about Mandela Day.
If I may, before we go there, please go back to the logo if you don't mind.
Sure.
I just want to tell you how amazingly this all happened. It was divine intervention. So when I chatted to Pastor Byron, he gave us the idea of a name called Serve the City. So I was like, sweet, let's do it. So when we officially registered as an NPO, Serve the City was taken up by a garden service. So we were like, now what? Because we'd already done our logo and everything. However, one of the options that were available was Together Serve the City. And through divine intervention, the cross in the middle of our logo is the team together. So, I mean, it just all worked out wonderfully. So, yes, Saturday the 20th of July, this coming Saturday, together with Thrive, TSTC are hosting Nelson Mandela Day. We've got the South African National Blood Service at Boksburg Campus as well as Edenvale. We've got them here between 9 and 4 to, you know, for everybody to come through and donate blood. Just to give everybody who doesn't know, one donation of blood, not pint, one donation of blood can save up to 3 lives. So that, I mean, that is significant. And I think a fantastic initiative that the church have implemented this year as well is one of the other ministries that we do have. We have a clothing bank. And I don't know if any of you heard this past week that an old age home burnt down. There was an SOS that went out to the community, and we were in the fortunate position that we were able to provide a lot of the stuff on the list that those people needed. So in saying that, part of the blood, if you are unable to donate blood, because I know not everybody can, if you are unable to donate blood, please still come through between those hours, and any secondhand clothing that you may have, regardless of the condition, we will take it off your hands gladly, and you can be rest assured that it would go to people in absolute dire need.
Georgie, Stan, when it gets really cold, he wears 2 pairs of shorts. So Tess, those jeans that are in his cupboard, he never wears them. So you can just bring them down, eh?
You're just jealous over my legs. You haven't got such nice legs, but.
Tess, thanks for bringing the jeans on Saturday. Guys, so, yeah, we've been, TSTC, we've been hosting the blood drive the last 2 years, and we kind of set ourselves a target in terms of donations received, not pints.
He's joking because it sounded like he said pints of beer earlier. So I said it's pints of blood, just for clarity.
Like Pastor Ken said, the pints of blood were George B.C. before Christ.
Okay, so
yeah,
Mandela Day, Saturday.
Yeah. So last year we managed to hit, I think it was 162 pints of blood. Guys, I just want to encourage you. Let's please come out in your droves. There's 400 people here. If each person, I know it's not possible, but if each person donates, we can save 1,200 lives. And that's in itself is, I can now drop the mic. But yeah, guys, it'll be awesome to have you here. There'll be voice rolls on sale. There's going to be music playing. There's going to be a great vibe. And it's all for an amazing, amazing cause. And obviously, you know, in honor of Madiba upstairs and obviously God as well. So thanks, guys.
So good. I just want to read something. It's from Teresa of Avell, and she says this. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Friends, I want to encourage us. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. Our eyes are the eyes that look with compassion. Our hearts are the hearts that are moved with compassion. Let's be moved with compassion this Mandela Day. And throughout the rest of this year, let's be people of compassion and move towards these initiatives. These guys are incredible. They are doing incredible, incredible work in their different areas. And I would like for us as a congregation to pray over them. and stand together and pray over them. And then I'm going to pray for us as a congregation. Would you guys stand with me? And would you take a step forward? And let's be the hands and feet of Jesus right now and bless them in this work. Let's stretch our hands out towards them. Joy, if you would join me on stage and just lay hands on them as well as I pray over them. God, we're so grateful for your presence in this place. We're grateful for these gentlemen and their ministries. We thank you for Mike and his heart for Shine. We thank you for George and his heart for Together Serve the City, and for Stan and Tessa, who is in the congregation. We lay our hands on each of them and we pray, God, for more of you now, more of your power, more of your anointing. Thank you, God, for their hearts of compassion for the people of God. Thank you that they have understood the commandments of loving your neighbor as yourself. And so, God, I pray right now for the future of these ministries, that it would be greater than this present moment. God, that you would give them faith to trust and believe for more. Because our nation needs more. Our nation needs more of you, Jesus, more of your heart, more of your love in this nation. And so I pray that you would give them faith, that you would give them vision, that you would give them resource, that you would give them volunteers, that you would give them people who come alongside them, people who pray, people who bless their ministries, so that the future of their ministry would be greater than this present moment. God, we pray for more of you, more of your power, more of your anointing. God, thank you, thank you, thank you that they have a heart for you first and foremost. And out of their heart for you flows this beautiful ministry. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give them each a hand. Now, church, I'd like to pray for us. If today there has been love that has been stirred in your heart, that you know God's calling you to something, but you don't know what, or perhaps you've resonated with one of these ministries, you're not too young, you're not too old. There's nothing that disqualifies you from doing the work of God. You know, God calls each of us to just do the next thing in front of us. To just buy a Nutrigo pack in the cafe and hand it to someone you're driving past. Or to buy a hope bag at the info desk for a family in need. Or to leave a legacy at our cafe. Or join missions. Or join Together Serve the City. Or to join the Literacy Center. What has God placed on your heart? If every single one of us puts our hands up and says, Lord, here I am, send me. Lord, here I am, send me. The nation will be different. And so today, if that's you, if you want me to pray over you for God to grow your heart, for Him to direct you, would you just open your hands in a posture to receive? And I'd like to pray over us today. Father in heaven, we come before you today, humbled by your love. When we look at the love that you poured out on the cross for us, we stand in awe and are grateful for your love. God, we're humbled. God, would you forgive us for the times that we haven't loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God, would you forgive us for the times that we've hardened our heart towards our neighbors, where we haven't loved them as you would love them, where we haven't been the hands and feet of Jesus. And right now I pray, God, would you give us soft hearts to see the need around us? Would you give us eyes to see a vision? Would you call us? Would you prompt us? Would we be aware of your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding so that we can be the love of Jesus to the world around us? And so, God, would you reshape my heart this day to love you and to love others. And together, everyone in this place said a resounding amen and amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.